everybody, welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. If this podcast is wrong, I don't want to be right. I'm your host, Pete Polligan, this week on the show, out of Africa. Turns out it's not that hard to get out of Africa. It's not that hard to get into Africa. Well, according to the movie, anyway. Well, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm sure I'll have a review in about 3 seconds. Now, this is one of those films that puts the plot on the back burner. It's the story of a Danish, woman. She's definitely a woman. She ends up marrying a guy and moving to Africa. She has money, and the guy she marries has a title. And so together, they're a useful component of society, apparently. And so they get together, they're friends beforehand, and they kind of find each other. And it's like, well, you know, we should just get married. And that's what they do. And they move off to Africa, they buy a farm there, and begin raising coffee. And for the most part, this film is just stuff that happens to her and stuff that she does. Traditionally, you kind of think that a movie is going to build up to something, or it's going to take a left turn somewhere and really surprise you. And this is really just kind of the stuff that she went through. And apparently, she was a real person, and which is the best kind of person to be. She was a real person, and she wrote all this stuff down, and these are the things that actually happened to her, probably with a little bit of dramatization added in. But, there's not a whole lot of stuff going on here that's shocking. But it is interesting, and I'll give it that. As we follow her along, she interacts. Well, it turns out that her husband is... He's not necessarily a bad guy, but he's kind of useless. He really is. They get together they meet up. He goes to Africa first, and she meets up with them, and they're together for a couple days, and then she gets up one morning, and he's just gone. It's like, what happened to him? Well, the servants say, well, he went hunting, and he'll be back before the rain. And she says, well, is it supposed to rain today? No, the rainy season. So, he just kind of disappears for huge amounts of time, and she just doesn't see him. And really, when you see them get together, it kind of seems like a marriage of convenience. But she eventually does fall for him, and that's bad luck for her, because not only is he running around the countryside, but he's just plain old running around, which leads to her getting syphilis. Not necessarily a good thing, especially in the days before antibiotics. So she has to leave Africa. See, she gets out of Africa. There you go. And goes back to Denmark for an experimental treatment that's very hard on her. And she eventually gets cured of syphilis and comes back to Africa. Can't have any kids. She and her husband, they're kind of rocky, as you can imagine, and they end up deciding to get a divorce. All the time that this has been going on, she has met and become friends with Robert Redford. And so later on in the film, as many women would, she falls for Robert Redford, because especially in the 1970s, Robert Redford was the epitome of what, women allegedly wanted a man to be. And so there he is, and he's a hunter, and he's kind of rough and lives in the bush. He's kind of the pre-Crocodile Dundee of Africa, if you want to think of him that way. And so he's tough and he's charming, and he goes off into the woods every once in a while. And he believes in the people and the land and, all the things that a hunter who goes out and, brings back ivory tusks should do in the early 20th century if he wants to be likable to the film audience. And so he is everything that her husband is not. And of course, they end up getting together and they have a long relationship. And that's where I'm going to leave you as far as the description of the plots go, because, you know, you don't want to know what happens at the end, do you? Well, nobody ever wants to know that. That's a spoiler, and I'm not going to do that. But this is it's an entertaining film. It's just not really, well, you know, it's weird. It's one of those that it kind of draws you in, and then when it's over, you go, really, that not that much really happened. But it's very well done. Of course, Meryl Streep sporting one of her famous accents. She's got the Danish thing going on, and she does a great job with that. Robert Redford, I believe his character in real life was British. He's having none of that. He's not going to go the Kevin Costner route and have some half-baked British accent. He just sounds like Robert Redford, which is fine, you know, in the context of the film. It all works. The rest of the cast is great all the way around. There's some really interesting stuff. First of all, this is one of the many, many, many films that seems to have World War I as a backdrop. So I'm going to say that if you want to make an Oscar-winning film, your odds go up if you have at least a World War as your backdrop, and probably World War I, because it seemed like a ton of, you know, as I look back on all these, a ton of them have had either been about World War I or had been occurring while World War I is going on. And this one falls into that category. The cast is really good, and there's also they really touch, not too heavily, they do it pretty lightly, but they touch on the colonialization of Africa and the native peoples and stuff like that. And they do bring those issues in, and Meryl Streep's character is one of the people that really seems to care about the native folks. And she puts together a school so that they can learn to read and write English and whatnot. Now you can argue about whether or not that's the right thing to do, PC and all that stuff. But she's trying to help, and in her context, that's what she's doing. She's trying to give them a chance at a better life. They're already subjects of a colonial power. She's helping them understand it a little bit better. And so you get to see some of that. She's not a radical. But she does touch on that and try and get the medical treatment and make their lives a little bit better for her having been there and been essentially part of an occupying power. Having said all that, I'm going to give this film a rent it. It's the kind of a thing, you know, I usually say if you want to see it more than once, I call it a buy it. I would probably watch this again, but I don't know if I'd watch it again after that. I might be interested in seeing it one more time because I think there's probably a little more depth to this film than there is in some others, but I don't know if it's something you're going to want to watch over and over. So I'm calling this one to rent it. Check it out if you get the chance. It's a good film, and it's worth your time, and then, move on with your life. Next week on the show. Next week is Platoon, otherwise known as Charlie Sheen's Finest Hour, which, you know, admittedly may not be saying all that much. He's okay on some of the things he's been on, personal troubles aside. But Platoon, if I remember right, a long time ago, this was a pretty interesting film. So I'm sure I'll have a ton to say about that next week. Until then, I am Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a great week, everybody. See you soon.